Hi everyone, welcome to Experience Kills. I'm Richard, I'm here with Ben. We're here to talk about Seventh Sector.
Hello everyone.
Hi Ben. We've both played Seventh Sector, so a bit different to the usual where one of us is just asking a load of questions and the other one is the expert. So we've both got a bit of experience, although me more than you in this case.
Yes.
Seventh Sector. So this is a port. I'm playing the Xbox version. Is that what you've played it on?
Yep.
It originally came out on PC last year, but we're only getting around to playing it now on the console port. And it's an interesting little title. I've quite enjoyed it the further I've got into it. But tell you what it is. So it's a 2D scrolling puzzle game with sort of 3D backgrounds. And it has an atmosphere kind of like The Fall. So anyone that's played The Fall games from Canadian developer Over the Moon will have a similar feeling playing this game, although it does play quite differently. So while it does scroll 2D backgrounds, it's not quite a platformer, at least not initially. It's more of I suppose you'd say you control an intelligent data signal in electrical wiring to begin with, which sounds odd, but you're basically a flashing light in a cable, and you can travel along that cable and transmit yourself to other cables with an aim to, well, progress to the next section. And you're solving puzzles along the way to do that, whether that's reading information from the backgrounds, interacting with electronic devices or real world objects to solve those puzzles. So it might be turning a light off to reveal an image in a mirror that allows you to input a code to open a door to the next room. And it progresses along those lines with maths puzzles, timing puzzles, until it transforms into completely different game types. And this is where it gets interesting. We were going to record this review yesterday, weren't we, Ben?
Yeah.
And it turned out that I'd got probably a quarter of the way into the game, and it hadn't really changed very much by that point. It felt like I'd seen as much as I was going to see of this, until you told me, no, actually, later on, it becomes much different. And rather than just an electrical signal, you start to inhabit other forms. So you might transform into a radio-controlled car, or a robot, or an airborne drone. There's a fair few different forms that you will adopt in this, and all of them play a bit differently, and it just gives that variety and a sense of exploration that, even though you kind of think you know what to expect after a while, there could be something completely different around the corner. And it's interesting to see where it goes. I think you're a bit further behind me now though, so since we had that chat, I've pretty much got to near the end of the game, I think I'm at now. But what do you think of it so far?
Yeah, I really liked the setting. I really liked the kind of visual style of it. It reminded me a little bit of sort of Inside, maybe, that kind of cartoonified but also very serious, dark, oppressive atmosphere. I enjoyed that, and that pulled me in. I didn't love the gameplay in the sections I played. I mean, it was fine to start with, but I felt like, you're telling me about this cool stuff that you get to inhabit and do. It's like they maybe should have got to that quicker, because
yes,
it feels like the onboarding, those initial experiences are, first of all, some very tricky puzzles, which is what stopped me. I got up to a point and it was just like I could not progress to save my life. And also just the look of it, like what you're doing, what you are, it's hard to kind of connect with and relate with a shining light in a wire.
Yeah,
so,
that's fair. And that was my experience too. I did kind of give up, thought I'd seen all there was to see, and then was, I suppose, glad I went back to it. But you're right, there are problems with the game in all of its forms. It probably spreads itself a bit too thin in terms of making those interactions with each of the different forms that you inhabit meaningful and fun. There are real control problems for some of it, where you've got to reach out for the D-pad to control the angle of a laser sight before you can fire it while walking as well, which is on the left analog stick. So you can imagine how difficult that is, to walk sideways while aiming up or down with your left thumb only, and then firing at things that are incoming towards you as, you know, hostile attacks. It's really quite tricky in places to do that, and that's another thing that it shares with the Fall, in that it has combat sections that don't feel like they should be there, aren't thought out that well, and ultimately really frustrating. That extends to some of the puzzles as well, like you said, not just in terms of the difficulty, but the physical ability to carry them out, particularly where they're timing based. And some of the logic is really flawed. At the minute, I'm stuck on one in particular. I've actually adopted a humanoid form now, and I'm in a kind of chase sequence, and it's one of those typical stealth kind of experiences where you hide in lockers and stuff like that, right?
Right.
And the archetypal video game locker, once you're in it, you're pretty much safe unless someone sees you go in it, right? But not here. So I'm trying to work out why that is, and I've died probably 24 times so far, and I can't quite find the trick. But that's a theme in some of the puzzles, that it undermines what you expect a game to do and is quite unfair with it. You feel frustrated at, even when you've solved the problem, you feel frustrated at how you got there, because sometimes it's by accident rather than design. And you feel that there should have been a more logical way to get through, which it doesn't allow you to do.
Yeah, I mean, the idea of designing contrary to the expectation is smart, and that can be really clever. But at the same time, games of certain genres also share a certain common language.
Yes.
So if you're going to ignore that, you need to signpost it enough so that the player, like you and me, doesn't just bounce off from frustration. And that's unfortunate. The balance isn't quite there, is it?
No, and it's a shame, because there are elements that point to it being quite an ambitious piece. So it's obviously a smaller project. I think it's possibly by one guy. So it's Sergei Noskov, Russian fella. I don't know if he did it all on his own, but it's clearly a smaller project that's grown beyond its initial scope. I think originally it was meant to be more of that simple electrical signal interaction type game, and then it's grown into something else. And what's there is interesting. It is cool to see where it takes you, but it probably overreaches and doesn't get any one element done. Overall, it's an underwhelming experience, or a disappointing experience.
Does the narrative it hangs on, is that good? Does it reveal things in interesting ways? I mean, Inside's narrative, for example, like, beyond just the world and the design, is so cool. Like, the twist that happens and the journey you go on. It also makes me think of, what was that one in the vehicle we played and both loved? Far Lone Sails.
Yeah.
You know, again, that really kind of beautiful, but at the same time austere-looking world, but with... You know, there does enough narratively to really make you want to progress. Is that present in Seventh Sector at all?
That isn't there, and there are clear reasons for that. I mean, one is in the pacing. The pacing is really off, as we've discussed. Secondly, I think it loses a lot in the transitions between the different forms that you adopt. You can't really empathise with a central character when that central character does not exist. And there doesn't seem to be any logical progression between those forms. It just feels like maybe it's now time to try and be a robot. Let's make you be a robot. There's no reason for it. It's just, it sort of just happens, you know? So it isn't like
Inside.
This will
be cool.
Yeah, exactly. It isn't like Inside or Far Lone Sails, where there are logical reasons for what happens and it exists within a set of rules. I mean, all the things that happen in Far Lone Sails, there's a variety of different environments that you travel through and challenges that you have to face, but it's all with that same set of tools, or a growing set of tools rather than a completely changed palette. So you might get added stuff onto your ship, like you get new sails and stuff like that, don't you? Or, or new things to add onto it, but you've still got the same basic vehicle. Everything changes in this from one hour to the next. You're a completely different form with different skills, and it doesn't feel like there's any continuity in there. It's just variety for variety's sake, perhaps.
Yeah, lacks cohesion.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh well. Interesting little game, though. Nice to see, like a, you know, one man band from Russia. You know, good, decent sort of translation work that's done. There's not a lot of language in it, is there? But there is voice acting and prompts and stuff. But kinda, I think that's been done
kinda.
Well.
Kinda. I mean, it's mostly the sort of short snippets of dialogue for warning signals and, you know, electronic voices in the background, rather than meaningful narrative. It is largely voiceless, and it's all about reading backgrounds and deciphering information from them to progress. So it's very, I suppose, functional rather than a storytelling journey.
Yeah, fair enough.
So yeah, I suppose it's worth a crack if you come across it and are into this sort of experience. There is something to get out of it, but you've kind of got to work at it. The puzzles are difficult, sometimes unfairly so, and it can take a while to get into the interesting bits. So that is Seventh Sector. Hope that gives you a good idea of what the game is like. Try it out. If you'd like to hear more from us, we cover all sorts of games all the time, so come back. You can find us at Experience Kills on Twitter. You can find us on all good podcast providers. Look for us on YouTube. I'm Richard. You can find me on Twitter at Colonel Red. You can find Ben on Twitter at DIYE. Have I missed anything, Ben?
No, I think you got them all, mate. You got them all. Well
Sweet.
Done.
Cool. Right. So we'll see you next time. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.